When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Thursday, October 3rd. We just went live a second ago, but didn't really go live. It is Thursday, October 3rd. It is Gigantic Pop, the Gigantic Pop podcast. I am here, Mr. Raj Giri, along with Mr. Matt Morgan. Matt, how are you doing today?
Doing great, brother. Happy to see you again.
I know. It feels like it's been a while.
I know. I couldn't do last week because we had a storm to prepare for, but I wanted so badly to give my opinion on the Vince McMahon Netflix documentary.
Yeah. I mean, we discussed it briefly last week, Glenn and I, and Glenn unfortunately can't make it today.
Yeah.
One of these days, the three of us will be back on together. But yeah, before we get into all the big news, definitely I'd love to hear what your thoughts were on the Vince doc.
So obviously, and I watched enough not documentaries, but interviews of the creators of it that kind of, they set the tone that, hey, look, this was not for wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that said, then I shouldn't be surprised that I didn't learn anything new in it at all about Vince. I just am shocked that they had Vince McMahon in front of them for as many hours as they did. And they didn't press him enough on his childhood. I know it sounds weird, but I would have liked to have heard a little bit more about his relationship with his mom, for example. I would have liked to have heard a lot more about that, especially what ended up happening with Vince in the long run and what he ended up being accused of. I would have liked to have heard about more about his relationship with his mom. It was always about his relationship with Vince Sr. And nothing really much about his stepdad that was supposedly abusive to him and things like that. I think this was their chance to get in depth on that subject. And Vince at that time was not under any type of investigation. So that was the time to hit him with all those questions, because that's going to, you would think, would be the most available time that Vince is going to give anybody, for that matter, similar to his Playboy interview, if you remember back in the day, of being forward about his childhood and upbringing and things like that are very personal to him. I don't like when he sits there and goes, oh, I hate talking about me and blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, no, dude, we need to know about you now, because you gave me my childhood to a degree with professional wrestling and WWF as what it was in the early 80s and mid 80s and late 80s, and then in college even. So like, he's so influential in so many of our lifetimes as children and collegiate students, I would say. And not this, for these interviewers not to dig deeper. And I know, oh man, he had a whole team around him. He had Paul Heyman semi-producing him from the side. You can even hear his voice. Still, if you're not going to go there with him, then why even bother? Because again, there was a couple anecdotal things here and there that maybe I didn't know, but for as much as this was hyped, because this was massively hyped, again, us, the wrestling fans, were not supposed to get anything out of this to begin with, according to the show's producers and creators. But okay, if that's the case, I can tell you right now, my neighbor doesn't give two shits about Vince McMahon, who doesn't watch pro wrestling. He doesn't want to watch a documentary on Vince McMahon. He doesn't care. Doesn't know who he is, and oftentimes thinks it's Ed McMahon. So that's what the average human being thinks, just for folks keeping score at home. You don't believe me? Ask a non-wrestling fan neighbor who Vince McMahon is.
Yeah, and you know what? I also felt like I thought the best episode was episode 5, where they got into the family dynamic.
With Shane.
And, yeah. But they never asked or ever gave any kind of a response to Triple H and Stephanie talking about like their thoughts on Shane taking over, or that he was supposed to be involved. Ooh. Or Shane leaving, or Vince on Shane leaving. Like all those still would have been interesting topics for the non-wrestling fan. It's not like those are for hardcore wrestling fans. It's that Succession family dynamic that I felt like
you're right.
They just scratched the surface. They didn't even ask Vince, like, why did Shane go? Even if he says no comment, that's still interesting. But
I agree.
Totally gloss over and just be like, oh, Shane wanted his dad's admiration. You felt for Shane. And I did think that was the only thing that was new to me in that documentary was how much Shane really wanted Vince's affection. And I felt like they could have went into that deeper.
But again, if somebody like had a gun to your head, say, or not even a gun to your head, if somebody asked you, do you think Shane wants Vince's affection? We all could say yeah, without even, you know what I mean, knowing much of that, right? I mean, it was pretty obvious.
But him not getting the company, that's what's interesting.
Yes, right? They should have asked that.
Yeah, and Triple H and Steph. Yeah, mm-hmm. and asking Shane, like, when you saw that Triple H and Steph were taking over, what were your thoughts? You had that opportunity right there.
No, they
gave
no.
If he's like, no comment, his facial expression, I'll tell you what they did.
Bro, I'll tell you what they did. They gift-wrapped it with Hunter false marrying her on the story, TV storyline. And then, feelings became real back in our skits together. And one thing led to another. And we already heard that story. Not Schumacher. What's the guy's name?
From Schumacher.
Well, he was the supposed historian who completely butchered, I'll say it on record, butchered and lied about the Andre the Giant documentary that you can watch for yourself, saying dumb things like Andre toured as a touring heel working against each territory's babyface. That's not true. Andre was never a heel.
Early in his career, was he? I actually don't know. I thought he was when he first started.
He was the touring babyface that, yeah, might work a potential. It was always the heel. He'd come in and work the heel champion that represented said territory more times than not. It wasn't the other way around, where he'd come in as the imposing, jerky, bad heel. No, he was always a beloved babyface that would tour and then work that territory's top heel more times than not. And the champion, right. And if it was babyface, then it was babyface. But Andre did not come in as some dastardly heel, which is a major, major mess up on his part.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, we got a super chat regarding the doc. Why do Steph and Hunter and Bruce get passes? Steph left the company multiple times, Bruce by VKM's side for 30 years. Hunter had to know something was up. Surprised TKO hasn't started fresh. Why do they get passes? Okay. I'm not sure exactly what that
means. Can I answer for Hunter?
Sure.
Because Hunter is I'm sorry, whether you like it or not, he's very good at creative. And all the success with WWE right now, as far as creative storylines go, are at his feet right now. And he deserves the credit for it, whether you like him or not. And I was in the Ruthless Aggression era where every single wrestler backstage would constantly say Hunter buries everybody, never loses, etc., etc. But it's changed. In my opinion, when Hunter became a dad, I think he changed his outlook on a lot of different things. Personally, that's my own personal opinion. Enough proof of it. That's my opinion. But as far as Bruce, you know what? Good for Bruce for sticking to his guns, because at the end of the documentary, he said, hey, I feel like this was a gotcha piece on Vince. And if that's how he felt, then good for him for being honest and saying that, because he had nothing to gain from kissing Vince's ass at this point. Vince was about to be gone.
I think the thing that people have to remember, too, is Bruce's comments were before the Janelle Grant lawsuit came out.
They were, but they were not before the other allegations.
Right. But Janelle Grant's, that lawsuit all of a sudden was like, oh, whoa. Like after that, like no one or very few people are saying positive stuff about Vince.
Nobody is.
So it was kind of a gotcha moment. I mean, you could have spliced Rock's comments about Vince in there, because before those that lawsuit came out, a lot of people were saying positive stuff about Vince, or yeah, he's flawed, but this and this and this. And then once those allegations came out, then it's like, whoa, that's some dirty shit.
Yeah.
You know, like that's beyond the pale.
There was one part I will take back that I did not that was like news making to me on Vince, but he did bury himself when he talked about the former female referee by even uttering the words. What do you say again? Like that it's past the, what do you say again? Rape allegations.
Statute of limitations has passed.
Why would that come out of your mouth? Like, dude, what are you doing? Okay, so that
came up. It's like when you're like, I might have murdered OJ, be like, hey, I might have murdered that person, but I didn't, but I'm gonna write a book about it. It's that same kind of deal.
Vince, come on. Again, I just wish they okay, we did get that, but I wish we got more because again, he did talk a lot about his like sexual proclivities, right? Like he's got these three computer brains, right? Or two computer brains, sometimes it's a third, and that third one is about his sexual, you know, not deviancy, but sexual like prowess or something, some ish like that, right?
It's sex in general. Yeah.
How are you not pressing him on that? Beat him up over that.
Yeah. Sex with who?
Yes. Come on, guys. We'll never get him in that forum ever again.
That was the last opportunity. Adam. It was a blown opportunity in a lot of ways. And again, I get that they're making this documentary for casual, not even casuals, general public. But you could have gone, you could have made it so much more interesting for general people.
I'm being serious. Ask your your friends are all going to know who Vince McMahon is because you ran a wrestling site for so long, right? So they have to at least know who Vince is. But like, ask your people that are out of your circle of friends, like, if that makes sense, your perimeter, I guess, that you go to dinner with, let's say like every 3 or 4 months or 5 months. Ask that friend who Vince McMahon is. And I'm telling you, the majority of them confuse and conflate Ed McMahon and Vince McMahon. I've heard it for my entire life, I swear.
Yeah, guys, it's more likely that they'd know who Vince is. Girls, you'd be surprised how many of our friends that we hang out with, my daughter's parents, the moms don't know who John Cena is.
Yeah,
be like, yeah, you know, like the Honda commercials. He's the voice of them. He was in, you know, this and this and this.
Yep, right.
So, obviously, the big story of this week, finally, the AEW-WBD deal became public per Variety. It's a multi-year deal. There's so many different reports, but it looks like it's 3 years with the fourth year option. And depending the different dollar amounts, Variety have reported $150 million per year. Sports Business Journal, one of the most respected publications out there, said it was 170. WrestleVotes, I think Meltzer also said it's over the 4 years, it's 185. Now, 185, I think with Meltzer, that's including that option year. If they renew it, the option year is much higher. If you include that, it averages out to $185 million per year. Dynamite and Collision will remain on TBS and TNT, respectively, in their current time slots. Also, will stream live on Max. So, at least for now, when you see the TV ratings, those are probably going to be lower because Max isn't counted on Nielsen. AEW pay-per-views will be available on Max at a discounted price per event. And it also includes enhanced distribution rights across social media, as well as potential new AE programming on linear and digital platforms, which never has really mentioned.
So can I just tell you the truth? Mm-hmm. I wrestled, folks. Like, I grew up since 6 years old wanting to be a pro wrestler. Mm-hmm. And I'm very interested in the business. With that said, Raj,
I know what you're going to say.
After the 20-second mark of what you were talking about, I started thinking about Ashley Larry. Folks that watch the Chappelle Show know what I'm talking about. I wasn't paying attention because it's boring. Boring. But not you, but the subject in of itself. But I know I'm in the minority nowadays with wrestling fans that do give a big crap about these television rights deals, et cetera, et cetera. Let me ask you this dumb question. What was their original TV deal for? How many years? The first one.
The original deal was for... So the original deal... So it got changed after 3 months. They renewed it for 4 years. And it was... It was escalating. And then they added new shows. I think by the end, it was like $70 million, $80 million a year. So it's doubled up, but this includes pay-per-views now.
Hey, good for them. This is good news. This is very good news. It keeps a competing company against WWE, because we see what happens to WWE when they don't have competition, right? At least we saw it in the Vince era. I'd like to think Hunter, whether he had competition or not, would continue to be creative and use these talents that we've all wanted to see get pushes and use more weekly than when Vince was there, for example. So I don't know. I just think competition overall is good. It's good for the boys and the girls and making more money. So yeah. I'm happy as hell that this actually happened for them. And I do, unless I'm wrong, doesn't this also include them having to create another show, Raj?
No, it doesn't. So that would be even more. And so there's a couple things to that. The Shockwave show that they've talked about, that's been rumored.
It's a good name, by the way. It's a good name.
It's cool. Yeah. Either on, it's reportedly with Fox, either with FS1 or Fox proper. Obviously, footprint than TBS or TNT. It's not a big a deal. Fox is a huge deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Enormous. Roger, I'm always worried about one thing though, is that they have the roster to create other shows, in my opinion. They have so many talents, but they don't have the creativity to pull it off. It can't just be Tony doing this. It's for love of, I've seen this for years. He needs somebody else to come in and help him with creative. This is my opinion.
And I also think every time they have added a new show, when they added Rampage, Tony Khan said, oh, this isn't a B show. It's going to be right up there with Dynamite. It's another A show. It became a C show is where it is.
Yes. Yes.
Collision. Yes. You know, when they had CM Punk, it did feel like two A shows there for like 2 months.
Yeah.
And then it quickly, now it's a B show. If they get a Fox deal, does Dynamite fall by the wayside? Can he actually do two A shows a week?
He has the talent for it. Mm-hmm. He does. Absolutely. He does have the talent for it. This is where he'll need help. He just does. He needs help in creative. And it's not Daniel Bryan. No offense to Bryan Danielson or anybody like that, but he needs an actual booker. It's a shame Jim Cornette hates that show so much, because it'd be somebody like him with others, not just him. That would be able to get more layers on the onion, so to speak, with some of these storylines. I watched Dynamite, this 5th year anniversary Dynamite episode, which I thought was very good. I was very entertained by the matches. And I just thought, like, you know how, like, God, Ospreay always gets criticized. He doesn't sell. He's just on to the next move. And it's all these crazy moves after another, and his match versus Ricochet. I don't know if you had a chance to watch it, but he did sell. He's improving on storytelling. If you go back and watch the Ricochet Will Ospreay match, I even saw fans complain like at times it was too slow. No, they actually showed their maturation. Both talents have shown their maturation. And what we saw back in the day when they did their 100 mile an hour high flying Willinda match, right? And the video game match they had back in the day, when it was 7-8 years ago, whatever it was. And to today, they were selling, they were taking their time, they were having a few count out, like potential count out spots I liked. And the best spot of the whole match is not the offense. It was when Will Ospreay was standing on the second turnbuckle, and Ricochet snatched his legs out from underneath him for him to take a face bump on the top turnbuckle. Will Ospreay took like 30 seconds, like really digging deep into his teeth, like he had lost a tooth. I know it sounds like that's not a really big deal, Matt. In today's wrestling, it is, because we never see it anymore. We don't see the attention to detail. And I was really impressed with Will's attention to detail on the selling front. He's getting a lot better, and which is crazy because he's already so talented with his offense. I just am blown away with him finally progressing on how he sells things just the same. He's so damn good.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I don't know, man. I like, to me, and it's just different people like different things, right?
Yeah,
like I grew up on Hulk and Andre and larger than life personality, Stone Cold and The Rock. To me, the gymnastics thing, it's cool. Like I enjoy it. Yeah. I mean, flips, like, who's to say that Nick Jackson is more athletic than JBL when JBL, you know, got drafted the NFL?
You know? With respect to my boy JBL, I'll say it. He is more athletic.
But you know what I mean.
JBL couldn't jump over a telephone book. And he's a
but
friend.
But he was in the NFL.
I get that.
You know what I mean? Like Bron Breakker as opposed to Will Ospreay. Bron Breakker got drafted the NFL. That's an athlete. You can't say he's not an athlete because he's not doing triple somersaults and backflips. So for me, It's gymnastics. A lot of people love it. I've seen it so much. It's all over the place. I liked it back in the day with Shawn Michaels. Here and there.
I understand.
Like for me, I loved Braun Strowman versus Bronson Reed on Raw. Like that match to me, that's just, and again, I'm not saying anyone's wrong for liking one style of match or another. That's just my personal preference. Big dudes, you can see like that shit hurts, and it's insane. Whereas guys doing gymnastics, that's great, but it's just not my. I'm not impressed by it.
I agree with you, but here's my separator with Ospreay. He's got muscle on him at least. He doesn't look like some emaciated tapeworm having, you know, scrawny, non-muscle having, nondescript wrestler that just went Hot Topic and got a pair of parachute pants and called himself a wrestler, right? Mm-hmm. He's improved his physique, and he does physically, when you see him, he does look like an athlete.
Yeah.
And so does Ricochet, even though he's a little bit shorter. Musculature-wise, I'm saying.
For
sure. The rest of them, though, I do agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, and I'm an Ospreay fan. We've been Ricochet fans on this show forever.
Mm-hmm.
I just that style of match. And I thought the ending was, you know, I
didn't know it was good. They got is that another talent over? You didn't think that was good that they used that moment to get a guy that really trying to get over finally get over? You don't think that was good?
If that was the ending, yes. But when they went to a draw. And then they have Tony Khan say, oh, this match will continue. That suggests to fans that you're not getting a shit finish. And then immediately they do a shit finish.
There was a finish. He pinned him. He pinned him. Didn't he?
No, there was no pin. It was a double pin. Remember, it was a draw.
Yes, and but then they restarted the match.
And then immediately he went to DQ.
Oh, I thought he hit the – I thought Ospreay hit the –
No, it was a DQ.
The gimmick
intervened, and it was a DQ.
Yeah, you're right, actually. Damn.
It sucked.
AEW fans are not watching for that stuff. We know this. They're watching for the moves. They are watching for the offense. And this is where Tony's going to continue to say, like, I tried to serve for the sickos, the sicko wrestling fan, like right, me.
Yeah.
I just want to see moves and offense and blah, blah, blah. I will say this, though. It did make Takeshka look important, or at least more important.
Yeah. I think he could be a big star.
I do think he could be a big star. He has such a great look.
He's got a great look.
Great
size, look. Everything. He's got presence. I agree 100%. I didn't mind Takeshka interfering. If they just ended it on a DQ and didn't do that draw and this match would continue, it'd be like if Bret and Shawn at WrestleMania 12 ended with Gorilla Monsoon saying there must be a finish, and then someone runs out and does it. Anyway, whatever.
Well, no, I see your point. And at the same time, this is, again, why Tony, in my opinion, will always need help when it comes to creative, because I'm not doing the crap on him. I'm just saying it because somebody else could have foreseen this, right? And that you guys always get accused of rushing these angles in AEW. Like, why did they rush this with him and Ricochet? Mm-hmm. Because now I'm worried about what are they going to do with Ricochet now that this match happened and it's over.
Yeah. One of the things with the new AEW TV deal is that AEW pay-per-views will now be on Max at a discounted price.
Wait, so it won't be on, what do you call it anymore? What's it called?
You can still get Barstool? It on regular pay-per-view. So
Barstool,
it's very similar to UFC on ESPN Plus in the fact that you have to be subscribed to ESPN Plus and then you can order the AEW pay-per-view. But the difference is with UFC pay-per-views, you could only get it on ESPN Plus. With AEW pay-per-views, you can still get it on regular pay-per-view. It'll be cheaper on Max.
What about Barstool? I watched it on Barstool. I can't watch pay-per-views on Barstool anymore for
AEW? You can't do it on BR Live anymore. I don't know if Barstool is BR Live.
When does that start?
January. Sometime the next year, because Max is building in the pay-per-view component.
Crap. So I got to resubscribe to Max again? Ugh.
Yeah. But, so it'll be a little cheaper on Max. I'm guessing that's to offset the pay-per-view cost to buy it regularly. But so in that sense, it's like Peacock and WWE, where the pay-per-views on Peacock, the PLEs, they advertise it on Peacock, but really mm-hmm. you can also get it on pay-per-view. With these AEW pay-per-views, they're going to advertise it on Max, but you can still get it on your regular pay-per-view providers. But it'll be Max is going to be kind of the hub where you go to get it. But it's not going to be like Peacock where it's included in your subscription. You're going to have to pay more for those events.
Well, there you go.
So this last AEW Dynamite Big Show, 5th anniversary. How would you say it did in the ratings? Do you think it was up from last week? Up from the last few weeks? Down? What would you say?
I like the matches I saw on it. I did. God, I would like to think it went up.
Down. 680,000 viewers, a 0.20 in 18 to 49. Worst rating in several weeks since the beginning of September. Viewership, again, worst since the beginning of September. Okay. They're coming off of all this news about the TV deal. They did Danielson versus Okada, mm-hmm. went 30 minutes over.
It was so
Ricochet
good.
Versus Ospreay, lowest rating in about a month, and way down from last year, about 18%.
So I guess here's the question. Does this network have the understanding that they're playing to a wrestling niche audience that just likes action, likes the high-flying, blah, 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 instead of what? Not mainstream wrestling fans would find entertaining, and they're just going to give them that room to have those ratings go down. What do you think?
I mean, I think it still beats, you know, the majority of stuff on TNT and TBS. So, but wrestling fans know that this was a heavily hyped show. This should have been more than usual. And I would say it's a bad number for what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, and they had some really good matches on there, too. So that's surprising, and that sucks. I feel bad for them.
Yeah. On the flip side, NXT on CW, I know you saw parts of it. Same here. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched the whole thing. Unfortunately, Glenn wasn't here. But
how'd it do?
It felt like a bigger deal in front of that crowd. Now, they're going to go back to the PC in a couple of weeks. They're changing the look up, but man, I wish they could do that arena feel every week because it felt much bigger.
What was the rating?
So the rating. So they did 895,000. Let me double check. Is 894, 895, but you get the idea. Best audience, second best audience in 5 years. Best audience in a year. Last year they did a slightly better audience with Undertaker and John Cena. That one episode where they loaded it up. They did a 0.26 again, second best rating going back to 5 years. Best rating CW has ever done in the demo this year. So, and they were up against the vice presidential debate that did over 43 million viewers. So huge competition plus the MLB playoffs. And that did a 0.73. I know Dave Meltzer last week, he's on Twitter. He's like, oh, well, you got to remember Dynamite has the Caitlin Clark game. And that did like a 0.5 something. This did a 0.73. No mention of that by Dave. Did more viewers as well. Anyway, NXT had the toughest competition of all the shows this week, even against Monday Night Raw, which had two NFL games. So yeah. Tough competition, still did a really good rating. I would think it's going to go down. Next week might actually still be good because Randy Orton's going to be on, still fresh. But
so what else is going on?
Sammy Guevara was carted off on Dynamite.
What do you mean?
He wrestled a match on ROH.
Yeah.
Suffered an injury. The match was called off. It looked like a concussion. Apparently, he was kind of okay backstage, but it seemed like he suffered a concussion.
Damn. Wanted to see him get back to television. They've been treating him like crap.
Yeah. Since Mercedes Moné came back, it seems like he's trying hard to get back to being noticed, and it just hasn't happened yet.
I hope that's just a coincidence. I know I'm myself naive saying that, but I hope it's just a coincidence because you can't deny his talent. He's so damn talented. And to be like, oh, he said what he said. And well, didn't he go to like training for that? And didn't he say his sorries and his apologies and everybody forgave him and he was back? That makes no sense. Then like a year later, he has it brought back up to work against him again. Then what's the point of apologizing at that point if people are not going to truly forgive somebody for their mess ups? And more important, them showing they understand why they messed up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I hope that's not true. I just hope it's a coincidence. I really do.
Yeah, I hope so too. Because I agree, he is talented. He's got flashes character-wise too. Where,
but they don't ever give him consistency booking. They never give him consistency.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
They give it to Jack Jerkoff Perry all the time. Put half the time you put into that guy, into Sammy, I'll guarantee you he'll be a bigger star. I guarantee it.
Yeah, all this push to Jack Perry and it hasn't been paying off with numbers. Go figure. But also with that, we saw Shelton Benjamin on Dynamite on Wednesday night. Bobby Lashley is also on his way in. So not completely the Hurt Business. You don't got Cedric Alexander, but, you know.
They were the main ones. Come on, dude. No offense to Cedric. No offense. He was a water boy.
Yeah.
But I did like that MVP promo. When he first came out for the first time, that was a very good promo. And again, it just shows the different levels. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. You can't deny it watching the MVP promo that when he came, like he started talking from the back and then made his way out to the stage. Everybody knew exactly who it was. Started chanting MVP. And his message he delivered, I really liked as far as, you know, the Hurt Business coming, essentially.
Yeah. Lashley may have not been that needle mover in WWE, but he was still someone I think you'd want to keep around. Like he's just, he could be great, do incredible. Great PR.
Incredible.
Smart, athletic, did MMA, you know, military background. He just seems like the perfect guy you'd want to keep around. I'm just surprised WWE let him go.
Yeah, me too. And he's a former world champion. You can get so many miles out of him still. Yeah. Of losing to some of your up-and-coming talents you want them to lose to, et cetera, et cetera. Or maybe it's gotten to the point, and this used to work against me too back in the day, is I'd have bookers tell me, like, it doesn't look realistic, Matt, for fill-in-the-blank to beat you. Okay? Mm-hmm. We'd have to, like, throw a bulldozer out there, a dump truck, a jackhammer. We'd have to do all these things to make it look realistic, and it's too much sometimes. So sometimes, like, your size can't work against you. But especially in today's wrestling, where we see it's these guys that are 165 pounds, wet wearing boots and eating a hamburger, that somehow are in contention for heavyweight championships. But here we are.
Yeah, and you got guys like Bron Breakker, you know, like you could Lashley and use them to
look the part.
Yeah.
Look the part. When I always watch wrestling, and I still to this day, I feel that way. I want to see somebody that looks like they've been in a real fight, first of all. And second of all, they can kick somebody's ass.
Yeah. We've got the pay-per-view coming up this weekend. What do you think should go last? It's CM Punk versus Drew in Hell in a Cell, or the Mega Powers, Cody and Roman teaming for the first time against the Bloodline?
It depends on the finishes of each.
Yeah.
So if it's Punk going, if it's Drew going over, I would not put that last. If it's Punk going over, I would put it last. But then what happens if it's the Mega Powers exploding? They win the match, but then they somehow explode at the end after.
Yeah.
I would want to see that last as a cliffhanger to come back. I don't know. I don't know how to book that. I really don't.
And Cody teased like there's something. He said there's going to be big world title implications. I don't know if that means The Rock, like a video package with The Rock or something. But if it's a video of The Rock, even if it's just a video, that almost feels like that's got to go on last. That's the WrestleMania main event, or possibly the WrestleMania main event.
Did he say we'd see it at Bad Blood, though?
He did say like there would be
implications that will be towards what's the overseas gimmick again? The pay-per-view?
Crown Jewel.
Thank you, Crown Jewel. Yeah, he did say that in the Pat McAfee show. I saw that.
Yeah.
You proud of me for saying that on the Pat McAfee show, by the way?
Yeah, there you go. A couple more things. John Moxley, they've been doing these promos with the Blackpool Combat Club, hinting that they're being directed by someone else. Somebody. A lot of people think it's Shane McMahon.
Shane. Yeah, I'm starting to.
Me too. If you do Shane McMahon, to me, it makes sense to wait until the Shockwave show, especially if it's on Fox. That's the show where you have Shane appear, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. Yes, wholeheartedly. Yeah. Still rating out of it. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. We got a couple more super chats. Viral Moments News. Did we do this one? What kind of F marriage does Vince and Linda have? She hasn't buried him or defended him. Hey, man.
I think, in my opinion, not knowing what I'm saying, just keep that in mind. From my perspective, it seems they're separated. That they live very separate lives at this point, and they have for the last quite a few years, is what I'm guessing.
It seems like they've had a professional relationship for a while.
So every single time I watch Linda, when she's in the Trump cabinet, speak, like Vince was never there, ever, or even really mentioned ever. So like for something like that he should be super proud of her being a part of, like, just no. So I just think they've now completely V'd out to their own lives, even though they're still legally married.
That's what it seems like to me too. And finally, Terry Allen Jr. with the $3 super chat. Thank you, Terry. And if you guys have any other last super chats, please shoot them over real quick and we'll try to get them all in. Saying he's glad Shelton and MVP are in AEW.
I'm happy for them getting another chance, especially Shelton, the guy that never ages. Good Lord, he looks so good.
And Lashley, none of those guys.
Oh, yeah, MVP Lashley doesn't either. You're right.
It's a fountain. Yeah, right. This should be called the Fountain of Youth.
They really should, because you're right. They don't age. They don't lose any muscle on them at all, which is impossible.
Yeah.
If you watch all your favorite pro wrestlers, right, eventually you start to see our shoulders start to narrow. It's like the first thing to go on us as we get older, for whatever reason. Not them.
Yeah. I'm jealous.
Me too.
Matt, this was a lot of fun. And next week we'll be hopefully on our regular time at 5 Eastern. Yep. If we need to do it earlier, we'll let you guys know. Matt, any other plugs or anything?
No, I just missed you guys. And thanks for watching. Please hit like. Please hit subscribe. Share it on Twitter. Share it on social media. Wherever you can, please. We want to keep getting the word out that we are back every single week on Thursdays. Please.
Yeah, it really does help us out. So we do appreciate your support. We appreciate it. It's been a year now since we've been back, and the growth that we've had, we really appreciate it. It started off as just kind of a hobby, us having fun, and we really do appreciate all the support you guys have thrown us. So thank you, guys. Hit the like, hit the subscribe, and we will see you back here next week. Maybe earlier. We might do one after Bad Blood sometime. We'll let you know. But we will see you guys soon. Thank you and take care.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.